my sons and my daughters, you are my children. And children you have been, but you have been allowing me to take up my throne in your hearts. And you have been maturing into the heirs of my kingdom. My sons and my daughters of maturity. My sons and daughters coming of age in these ending days. The days when all my prophets and all my teachers desired so much to be a part of. And you have been blessed to be a part of this ending day army. My children, my love abounds in your heart. And as you give my love, which abounds in your heart, out through your mouth, to love others as you love yourself, my glory in you will flow out and will take you to places which are way over and beyond anything that you have ever dreamt or fantasized about. My army, my standing army, my army that I'm raising up to prepare the way for the return of my son, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to take over the leading of this ending days army. But much work you will do, and greater works than he did will you do, each and every one of you who chooses to be conformed to the image of my son. For I'm calling you unto a time, unto a work, unto a place that never has been before, nor ever again will be. Sons and daughters, I raise you up. I anoint you. For those who will accept, I anoint you to be the forefront of this ending day's army. I'm calling my people from all nations and all places. Many have been called, but few have chosen to be raised up to that place of kinship, seated with my son, far, far above all principality, powers, mights, and dominions. But you have chosen to let me take up my throne in your heart. You have chosen not to cringe and draw back in fear, but to go forward because of my word. For my word is life. And my word is everything you have ever desired, wanted, or dreamt about. Let's go forward together, my son, my daughters, into these ending days. Thus saith the Lord. Well, praise God, here we are. And we've finally gotten to part four of the series, The Essence of Faith. Today, we'll be talking about living by faith, living by faith. And so I want to take a new look at the definition of faith. I want to talk about walking in faith, not walking by sight, and of course, what living by faith really means. So what is faith? We'll look at some well-known definitions from Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. We all know that. We should have all that memorized. from Mark 11:23, faith is not doubting in your heart, but believing that those things which you say shall come to pass. Faith is believing. Fear not, only believe. But to believe is not doubting in your heart and believing that those things which you say shall come to pass. And from Hebrews 6:12, from the Amplified Classic, faith is the leaning of your entire personality, the leaning of your entire personality. And I actually prefer myself, I think a higher level of translation would be your entire being, not just your personality, but everything, heart, soul, mind, body, words, and works. The leaning of your entire being on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. No matter what happens, if we have acknowledged him and we are leaning on him, we know we will have victory coming out of this. And out of this test will be a great testimony. Now, what I want to do is something that you all love, I'm sure. It's called mathematics. You know, you say A equals B, and B equals C, then A equals C. So if you have A plus B equals 10, and B equals C, you can say A plus C equals 10, right? That's what we're going to do here. We're going to do substitution. So, reviewing, King James. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith, I stuck the word faith in there because it's implied. Okay? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We're going to substitute the definition from Mark 11:23 for the word faith. Now, not doubting in your heart, but believing that those things which you say shall come to pass is the substance of things hoped for. You hope for something. How can you feel it? What tells you you got it? Not doubting in your heart, but believing that the things you say shall come to pass. That's the substance. That's what you feel. That's what you wrap your hands around. That's your receipt when you go to the store, you know, and you pay for something. You know, you go to a restaurant and you order your lunch and you give your hard-earned money and they give you a piece of paper. And if you're from the boonies, like I used to be, you might be tempted to put ketchup on the boonies and a piece of paper and eat it. But that's not the idea. You think, man, that's the smallest dinner I ever saw, you know? No. The idea is you take it over to another place and they give you a meal, right? Now you know the kind of restaurants I go to. Some of them, right? Some of them. So now, not doubting in your heart, but believing that those things which you say shall come to pass, is a substance. It is a piece of paper. It is the receipt. It is the title deed. The title deed. Like the title deed to your car or your home. Not doubting in your heart, but believing that those things which you say shall come to pass, is the evidence of things not seen. You haven't seen it with your natural eyes, but you're seeing it with your eyes of faith because you're not doubting and you're believing that you have it. Right? Okay. Now let's go and make that a little bit more complicated. This is advanced algebra. Okay? So the first part will be the same. We're going to change the second part. We're going to replace it with the definition from the Amplified Bible. Now, not doubting in your heart, but believing that those things which you say shall come to pass is the substance of things hoped for. It's your receipt, your title deed. You can feel it. Not the leaning of your entire personality, leaning of your entire being, the leaning of everything that you are and everything that you have. When everything you have depends on God, the leaning of your entire being on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. It's the evidence of things not seen. One morning I'm in prayer and the Lord said, I would like you to go to this part of a city which was very dangerous. He said, will you go? I said, sure. He says, when you go, you'll be attacked by two men. I said, okay. And I finished my prayer. Then I set out to go. I was leaning on God in everything. He never even told me I was going to live. He said, you'll be attacked by two men. But I know the word of God. With long life will he satisfy me, and I wasn't ready yet. I'm still not ready. Okay? Frankly, I'll never be ready. Methuselah, watch out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I went and two men attacked me with ice picks about year long. You all know what an ice pick is? You go to the refrigerator and the ice cubes come out, right? Automatically. You pick up an ice cube and you take this long knife and you break it in pieces. Okay? Yeah, that's an ice pick, okay? So the guy thought I was a pretty cool person. They must have thought I was pretty cool. So they put an ice pick here, an ice pick here. They wanted to rob me. And what came out of my mouth was as much a surprise to me as to them. I said, Jesus loves you. And they froze. I said, Jesus loves you. And one backed up. I said, Jesus loves you. The other one backed up. I said, Jesus loves you. And they turned. I said, Jesus loves you. And they started to run. And I grabbed the last one and gave him $20. I think for that point in time, I was leaning on God with everything in my head. That's what God wants us to live every single day. And probably you've all done that. Now and again. God wants us to do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? Now, we apply this concept to the Pentecostomy. The Pentecostomy comes from Matthew 22, verse 37. You, the Spirit, must love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And we can see the body. Five parts. Penta means five. So what does that mean? The decision-making parts of you. The parts where will resides, where emotion resides, is in your heart, soul, and your mind. It's in your heart, soul, and mind. That's where they reside. So applying it there, faith is really, really, really believing God. Really in your heart, really in your soul, and really in your mind. You're believing Him in your heart, soul, and mind. Why do we need to do that? Because you need to love Him in your heart, soul, and mind. Put it another way. It's saying, I know that I know that I know. I bet you we've all said that. I know that I know that I know. Because when you know that you know that you know it's true. It means you know it in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. And when you know it there, nobody is going to change your mind. When you know it there, when people know it there in these ending days, and they say you must take the mark of the beast, you know that you know that you know, you're not going to take it. Amen? When you believe / know at that level, you can face any obstacle, any challenge, including sickness, disease, threats, demons, any challenge, including death. The angel of death won't face you. He's just a worker bee. His boss is under your foot. Why should you be concerned about him? So when we know that we know that we can really do a good job of walking in faith. Walking by faith. See, all mankind walks by faith. Unbelievers, heathens, barbarians, we all walk by faith. That may come as a shock to some of you. But why is that? Because we were all created by God. And God is a God of faith. And God created everything by faith in His Word. And He created us in His image and likeness. So we are created to be children of faith. So we all walk in faith. The question is not, are you going to walk in faith? The question is, in whom are you going to walk in faith? Let me give you some concrete examples. When you walk by faith in other than God, you do some things. I'm going to list some. I'm sure some of you have done some of these. When you walk by faith in other men, you do this every time you fly. Think about it. You're getting in a plane, and the plane is not even flapping its wings. Right? and it shot up in the air like a bullet, and you have the belief that A is going to go up and B is going to come down gently. Right? And the person who's flying won't have a heart attack or fly you into a mountain or be attacked by terrorists. There won't be an explosion in the baggage car, and nobody on board the plane will have a disease that's contagious to everybody. I would say that's a tremendous amount of faith. Would you say that?
Yes.
Think about it next time you're going to fly. Every time you cross a high bridge, you ever go over these high bridges and you look down 200-300 feet below you, there's a little river about this big?
Yeah.
Right? And next time you're driving over, it says, I have faith that the engineer got at least a B in bridge design. That's what I'm telling you here? Okay. How about sitting in a chair? Everybody came in this morning plumped in a chair. What makes you think the chair is going to stay up? We do have people. We do check them periodically to make sure they're all bolted together properly. Okay? How about you go to a supermarket, and here's a bunch of people you never saw before, and you buy all this food. You're going to take it home and give it to your kids. You don't know the guy who took your money. You don't know the guy who served you. You don't know the people who brought it there. You don't know where it came from. You don't know how they grew it. You don't know what they fertilized it with. Everybody walks by faith. We are built to walk by faith. The only problem is we have faith in the wrong thing. Because everything I've just given you as examples have failed because people fail. Every single one. Bridges have fallen down. Planes have blown up. Food has been contaminated. But the Word of God is never contaminated. How about when you go work really hard for like a week, or sometime they really tell you, we only pay once a month. We want you to have the faith, A, to work for a whole month without seeing any money. B, believe that when we give you a check, it won't bounce. And C, somehow you find food for yourself and your family for a whole month and hope that we pay you. Doesn't that take a lot of faith? And then, you know, people write you a check, you know. You sell something and they give you a check. You take it to the bank. And we have the faith to believe it's going to clear. So we're children of faith. No, we are specifically children of faith because our Heavenly Father is God and He created everything. And He's a God of faith. Contrasting faith in God with faith in Mammon. Mammon is a system of man. It's based, in Western culture especially, on science. But it's based on some knowledge of the world and the way it works. Regardless whether you're east or west or south or north, it's based on man's knowledge. It is the modern equivalent of the Tower of Babel. Okay? Mammon is man's system. Of this system of man, of this system of science, we have medicine. It's a byproduct. Now, listen carefully. Science is a study of that which can be measured. That's the definition of science. That which can be measured. If you can't measure it, science has nothing to do with it. Therefore, by definition, science is a science of that which can be revealed to the five senses. Everything that's revealed to the five senses is carnal and physical. Science and non-Bible education, not just Western education, science and non-Bible education. See, Boko Haram thinks it's only Western education. But it's all education. All the education you got when you're a kid growing up and people around you. Which is true of Boko Haram. Boko Haram means Western education is sinful. Okay? See? It means Western education is sinful. But when they were growing up, all the stuff they were being told, it has to do with nation, the things around them. It's all non-Bible education. It all trains us to live by our five senses. Because we're trained to live by our senses, we are blind to the unseen. What do we call it when we live by our five senses? We're walking by what? We're walking by sight. So all science and non-Bible education train us to walk by sight. That's why believers have such a hard time learning how to walk by faith. They have to go against everything they have been taught since they were potty trained. Now, Jesus came to preach recovery of the sight of the blind. From Luke 4:18. Recovery of sight of the blind. We go into this in much greater detail in healing school. He came to preach recovery of sight of the blind through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit starts to guide you. And you start to develop your eye of faith. And your sight starts to come back, that you start to rely on your five senses less and less, and more on the eye of faith. More in seeing things through the Word of God and through the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, recovery of sight to the blind. You know in Luke 4:18, when it says Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, that's not the financially poor, you know. Because if it was, no, Jesus would not have said how hard it is to enter the eye of a needle. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the eye of a needle. And the apostles freaked out. If it's that hard to enter the kingdom of God, what about us? No poor man would have said that. He came to preach a gospel to the poor in spirit, that they could be born again. They were not born again, but they have a humility in the spirit to learn, a poverty in the spirit to learn. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Deliverance to the captive. Recovery of sight to the blind. Well, what about the deaf and the dumb? And to heal those who are bruised. That all refers to you as a person. To each of us as a person. Not to groups of people. He didn't come for the poor and not the rich. He didn't come for the blind and not the sighted. He did not come for the brokenhearted. But forget all those people whose hearts are joyful. We don't need them. All we need are those who are depressed and have broken hearts. No, it all applies to you and to me individually. Okay? So, as we are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues, we start to recover the lifestyle of living by faith, of starting to make decisions based on our spiritual eyes, our eyes of faith, and not simply by our five senses, not simply by our training and our education and our background. No, we're not making it based on the voice of God inside us and by the Word of God. As we continue to grow in the Spirit of God, as we continue to pray in tongues and continue to be led by the Spirit of God. Which is why, let me back into this because this is very delicate. At one first soup, I could, with the next statement, offend almost every Christian on earth except for those in certain churches. So I want to say this very carefully. When we first got ABC started, at one point I had 12 ABC locations in 12 different cities. And I noticed that six of them were really powerful in the gifts of the Spirit. A lot of miracles. Amazing miracles, including raising the dead. And I noticed the other six were very powerful in the fruit of the Spirit, but not very powerful in the gifts. And I thought, there's something wrong here, boy. What am I teaching wrong? I'm ending up with two sets of people. And I spoke to my wife, who was just a ministry friend at the time, and we talked about it, and we prayed about it. And what came out of it is a lot of teaching in semester 2 and 3. The concept of the anointing in you, the anointing on you, the Spirit of God in you versus the Spirit of God up in you, the operation and the gifts of the Spirit versus living through the fruit of the Spirit. I noticed all the ones who were really great in miracles, signs, and wonders were pretty flaky in terms of their character and their behavior. But the ones who were very strong in the fruit of the Spirit had great character, very dependable, very reliable, but not much in miracles, signs, and wonders. And we start to understand what happened was one group is living by the gifts of the Spirit, by the anointing in them, and one group is living by the fruit of the Spirit, the anointing in them. And the ones that were living by the miracles, the Pentecostal type, if you want, those who were tongue speakers, praying in tongues a lot, that kind was great in miracles, signs, and wonders, always talking about miracles, but were pretty flaky because they were not developing the fruit of the Spirit. And as I looked out in the world, I saw a lot of those people in the world dying. All these miracles, and they can't find it for themselves. Look at how many great healers we've had who've died prematurely and young because they couldn't find the healing for themselves. But as I looked at the people who were walking in the fruit of the Spirit, they were living longer, had better quality lives, were not flaky, were reliable, but no miracles, signs, and wonders. And I started to realize what I had here was a microcosm of the church as a whole. My 12 ABC locations, 12 ABC churches, were a microcosm of the church as a whole. And as I looked at the church, I saw the same thing. The tongue-speaking Pentecostal, full of faith, full of word, full of prosperity message, they were doing the same thing. And their pastors and their ministers were getting sick. Some of them were dying. They didn't know to get healing for themselves, but they could heal just about anybody, but not themselves. And I looked at the non-Pentecostal churches, the mainstream body, denominational churches. People are walking in fruit of the Spirit, having good character, reliable, dependable, doing a lot of good works, a lot of good works, but no miracle signs and wonders. You tell them about miracle signs and wonders, and they look at you as if you lost two screws. Anybody know what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
And I realized this. The wonderful people in all the wonderful denominations who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, who are not praying in tongues, have not yet gotten the deliverance of recovery of sight for the blind because they're still seeing through the five senses. And through the five senses, all they can do for the most part is what they see, which is do good works for people. And they're full of good works, and they create hospitals, all these things based on the five senses. Because they have not been set free to start seeing more fully through the eye of faith. It's difficult for them to live through the eye of faith because they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit to be at the point where they have recovery of the sight. Moving from dependent on the five senses to dependent on the voice of God and the eye of faith. You can apply this to any set of churches you want to find and you'll see it. The denominational churches do wonderful, great works. And they're wonderful, great people. But don't go in there and talk about raising the dead and casting out demons. They'll cast you out before you can cast a demon out. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's how important it is. Jesus came so that through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the faith, the praying tongues, you can start to learn how to walk by faith and not simply by the five senses and what you understand in the Word. John 1:33. John the Baptist says, "He that sent me to baptize in water said unto me, upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending like a dove and remaining, descending and remaining, he it is who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Not simply to be born again with the Spirit of God in you, who will never leave you nor forsake you, but to be baptized with the Spirit of God upon you so you can walk in the gifts of the Spirit for your ministry of bringing people to Jesus and getting them healed and showing them signs and wonders. So now what we know what walking by faith is, it's walking by your faith eye. It's not walking by your five senses. Look at some definitions here. Walking by faith is making your decisions by the Word of God or by hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 5:14 says, "Strong meat belongs to him who by reason of use has exercised himself to know good from evil." You can only grow into strong meat. You can only grow into strong meat by that knowledge that's in your heart. The knowledge of the God's word in your head will never move you into strong meat. You must have the experiential knowledge of seeing God's word working for you, because only then is it deposited in your heart. Let me say it again. You can study the Bible from now until the cows come home to roost. And it will not help you in your heart. It will renew your mind, but you won't tap into the spiritual power. You must apply it and do it for yourself. Then that experiential knowledge of the word will be deposited in your heart as heart faith. And heart faith will change your life. That's when you get into the strong meat. Walking by faith is seeing through the eyes of faith. Walking by faith is living physically through spiritual eyes. God wants us to walk around in this physical world because we have a body which gives us the legal right to walk around in this world. But to walk around in this physical world, looking at it through spiritual eyes, looking at everything through the eye of faith, everything, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The opposite of walking by faith is walking by sight. So walking by faith is analogous to not walking by sight. So let's look at not walking by sight. We're looking at like the flip side of walking by faith. Not walking by sight. One is you should know your enemy. Okay? You should know the devil has no power. He has no power. He's defeated. So he has to steal your power. He steals your power by deceiving you. He wants to use your power against you. He can only use your power against you if he can capture your words, which he does by capturing your mind. Colossians 2:15 says Jesus defeated all principalities and powers. 1 Peter 5:8, you all know this. 1 Peter 5:8. The devil, like a roaring lion, goes around seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour you unless you allow it. May means he needs permission. He goes around seeking whom he may devour. He wants people to walk by sight. Because if they walk by sight, they'll believe the lies of the enemy. They'll believe the fiery darts of the enemy. They'll believe the symptoms and challenges that are coming in the physical world. They'll get their eyes off the fact that God delights in the prosperity of his servant, and they'll look at the balance in the checking account. So his job is to get you to look not through the eye of faith, but through the five senses. That is deception. To make you think you have to look at things through the five senses. If he can get you to look at things through the five senses, if he can get you to look away from the promises of God, away from the eye of faith, away from the voice of God, away from the faith in your heart, then he can devour you. And a big stepping stone towards that is always fear. He almost always attacks first with fear. The first time you sinned, I guarantee you, shortly after sinning, 2.5 microseconds after sinning, fear hit you. Think back it. Those of you who can remember the first time that you sinned, fear came. First time Adam and Eve sinned, fear came. So, the devil can devour them if they are deceived by accepting as current reality the reality of the five senses. By accepting either facts from the physical world or the fiery darts as their current reality. All of which are contradicting the word of God. Now you can't know that the fiery darts or the stimuli from the world is contradicting the word of God unless you know the word of God. That's why your mind has to be renewed. That's why it's so important to study the Bible. If you don't know the Bible, you have no idea what the promises are, and you have no idea when you're being deceived. And in these ending days, almost everybody on earth is going to be deceived according to the Word of God. The Word of God says, if time continues, even the very elect would be deceived. I'm not making up the stuff as I go along. So if we can't today, in this more or less normal, happy world we live in, if we can't today function by recognizing the fiery darts and recognizing the illegality of the physical stimuli which are hitting us, how are you going to do it when things really start to get rough starting later this year? The devil's power is primarily from the past. So let us say that somebody is hit with a pain around here, middle section of the chest. And they say, devil says, oh, that's a heart attack. Person says, going by experience. Now, by my five senses, I know that nobody in my family has ever died of a heart attack. And I had my heart tested a year ago, and it's wonderful shape. My cardiovascular system is wonderful shape. Can't be my heart. Devil said, okay. Would you believe from column 2 of the Chinese menu? Your gallbladder. Ah, yeah, I remember this, that gallbladder pains is very severe, and sometimes people think it's a heart attack. Yeah, I bet it's a gallbladder. Because my brother had gallbladder challenges, my father did, my mother did, my great-grandfather did. And you look at all the people in the family who are challenged with gallbladder, and said, oh, yeah, it's gallbladder. And you turn to your friend and say, I think I'm having a gallbladder attack. And the friend calls his friend and says, pray for him, because he's having a gallbladder attack. And he puts it on the internet, and within a matter of hours, you have 2,567,000 people saying, John G. is having a gallbladder attack. And what you agree is touching, it comes to pass. The devil has some power from the future. It all comes through fear. Fear of what's going to happen in the future. That's why God repeatedly says over and over, fear not, fear not, fear not. Only believe the word of God. Walking by sight. What is walking by sight? Walking by sight means you're making a decision based on stimuli coming to your five senses. It's coming from the world around you, which means it's carnal. Carnal does not necessarily mean sinful. If you understand that, you have a lot more revelation about some of the scriptures. Carnal doesn't mean necessarily sinful. For example, my bacon and egg breakfast is very carnal. Mm-hmm. And maybe when I eat it, sometimes I get too carnal. Okay? You know, like I go to this restaurant where they know me and they like me. So when I order a breakfast and I get bacon and eggs, the menu says 2 strips of bacon. I always get 4 strips. And for a long time, I thought, how wonderful, they're blessing me. I thought, maybe they don't like me at all. But I fooled them. I take home 2 strips and I eat 2. Just kidding, I know they really like me. Okay? So the devil's primary power comes from the past. Times we've failed. Times prayer seemed to have failed. Things have been done to us. Rejection, offense, unforgiveness. And from the future, based on fear. Walking by sight. All the stimuli are coming to us through our five senses. It's coming from the world. So what is in the world? Funny you should ask. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. All that is in the world is being defined. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. World, the system of mammon. The world and the system of mammon. So the devil wants you to make decisions by all the stimuli coming from things which are not of the Father. That's why Jesus says, I'm going to do what I see my Father do. I'm going to say what I see my Father say. How could he be any different? Because if he doesn't do or say what's coming from his Father, he's doing it based on what's coming from the world, which is walking by sight. It's not from the Father, so it's not a good thing. The devil wants you to live physically through physical eyes. Proverbs 27:20. The devil wants you to live physically through physical eyes. Why? Proverbs 27:20. What kind of perk you up first thing in the morning? It says, hell and destruction are never satisfied. So also, so as the eyes of men, our eyes are never satisfied. They always want more until they are washed by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God. They always want more. Sometimes we call that greed. Sometimes we call it lust. All that is in the world is perceived through five senses. All that is in the world is perceived through five senses. All that is in the world is perceived by walking by sight. See? Well, okay. Hold that for another time. So walking by sight is synonymous with walking by the five senses. Walking by sight is synonymous by walking by the five senses, which is the same as walking carnally. Let me read it again. Walking by sight is synonymous with walking by the five senses, which is synonymous as walking carnally. Therefore, every fiery dust that comes to you, every ungodly stimulus that comes to you, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every high thing that's trying to get you not to walk by faith is based in the world. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5, this is a good place to write in 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where are they coming from? They are fiery darts of the enemy. But fiery darts of the enemy have to reflect what's in the world. So when he hits you with a fiery dart of pain, it's not saying, here's a pain from the devil. It's saying, here's a pain from somebody's right shoulder, for example. It all has to reflect what's in the world. And we cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. When a pain hits your body, it's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. It's idolatrous. It's saying, you have not been healed by the strap of Jesus because I'm a pain and I'm telling you, you're not. It's the pain, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Amen? I should record my wife yelling at the devil. I mean, she got to the point where if she raised her voice, the cat is gone. I don't mean shouting at the devil. I just mean raising a voice. The cat's gone. Where's the cat? He was here a second ago. I said, honey, you raised your voice. Cat's gone. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Choosing, you have to choose not to walk by sight. It's a choice. You have to make a choice. I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by what the Bible says, what the Spirit of God says. Okay? You want to choose not walking by sight because the enemy uses whatever you see to get you to fight in the physical realm because that's where he's strong. He wants to say, well, you know, you have been challenged with a pain. Go to the doctor. Let him run all their sensory equipment. Let him come back with a test you can see so you know what the doctor is seeing so you can fight him in the physical. Is that what you want to do? You want to fight the devil where he's strong? I don't think so. Why would any army go fight another army where they're strong? Your strength is in the spiritual world. Your strength is in speaking the word of God. Your strength is living in the Spirit of God. Your strength is walking by faith, not walking by sight. So the devil has been defeated spiritually. So his only source of power is to use yours by deceiving you with physical stimuli going to your mind. Since his attacks must be centered on the mind, you need to renew your mind to the Word of God. Romans 12:2. Listen now. Once your mind has been renewed to a promise, you know the promise. Keep the promise in your mind by affirming it, by visualizing the promise and the results, and by meditation of the Word. You keep it in your mind. Your mind is being renewed to it. Now, when the attack comes, you can recognize the attack as an attack. Your mind is protected by the shield of faith because you believe the Word, and you can recognize the attack. Philippians 4:8 says, think upon these things which are true and honest, just, love the pure, things of good report. If they be virtue, if they be praise, think upon them. Think upon the Word of God. Think upon the promises of God. Think of all the things God has done for you in the past, and He'll do it again in the future. That's what you think upon. Amen?
Amen.
Now, living by faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. The word walk here in Greek is peripateo, from Strong's Concordance. Walk. Its primary meanings are treading about, walking at large, and walking about. They all have to do with walking. A secondary meaning of the word peripateo is live. But if you look at the primary meanings, they imply an approach. Whereas you're walking around, you're making your decisions as you arrive at places where decisions need to be made. You walk around till there's a decision point, then you make a decision. It's a tactical approach to living. You're walking around blissfully unaware until something happens and you need to make a decision. Typically, major decisions. What would you all say if you came across a bunch of Christians who only prayed when there was a major challenge? The number of times over the years that people have told me, I don't bother God with a small thing, just this big thing. Sounds good until you realize it contradicts the Bible. The Bible says, in everything, with prayer and supplication. Right? In all things, pray. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. So we know that people who only pray when it's a big thing are missing the boat. Well, what about people who only make decisions when it's a big thing? They only ask God for that guidance when it's a big thing. You think maybe they're missing the boat also?
Yeah.
But doesn't that sound like us? We only ask God when it's a big decision. We pray more frequently, but in terms of seeking Holy Spirit direction and making our decision based on the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we tend to only do it when there's a decision point. It's a tactical way of living. Walking by faith, the implication here is a tactical way of living. You go along, as long as nothing is going wrong, you don't have to check with God. But when something goes wrong, then you got to make a decision to walk by faith. Now, I'm not saying we do that all the time, but it's kind of a leaning in that direction. That now is different from living by faith. The just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17 and elsewhere, the just shall live by faith. The word live is the Greek zaao. What did I learn, you see? I've said it for years, which is, if you buy a membership to the gym and don't go, it doesn't help you very much. But I've learned it also works with books. If you buy a book and you don't read it, it doesn't help you very much. So I told my wife, you know, I was thinking of getting a Greek book to learn Greek. So about 4 or 5 years ago, she gave me as a present a beautiful Greek book. And I've opened it twice. And my muscles got stronger because it's a big book. And I opened it twice. But my head has not been reduced to Greek. Okay? I would love to start with Greek. Anyway, the word live in Greek is zao. Its meanings are live, lifetime, and alive. All have to do with a lifestyle. These meanings support a more strategic approach to using your faith. Don't wait until there's a decision point where an important decision has to be made. Rather, before you embark upon the direction, before you embark upon the project, before you embark upon investing your money, before you embark upon renting a house, going to a school, flying, before you do that, that's when you pray. You pray and you make your decision at the beginning. The strategic approach tends to denote a more proactive way of living. The walking, the tactical, is more reactive. Something happens, we react. Proactive is, let us get ahead of the game. Let's be proactive and set up our lives so things don't repeat on us. Okay? Here's an example from the scripture of tactical living, which is very clear. A tactical approach to the prayer is deliver us from evil. Where do we hear that? In the most famous prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The deliver us from evil. That's in Matthew 6:11, part B. Deliver us from evil. In other words, we've been tooting along and suddenly we're in a place and there's evil here. And we say, Lord, deliver us. Anybody been there? Suddenly we realize there's a problem. Didn't know the problem. I ran down there, I jumped in a canoe, I started paddling across the lake. I looked down and the boat is filling with water. There's a hole. Deliver me, Lord, from this sinking canoe. That's tactical. Will God deliver you? Absolutely. You're children of faith. He loves you. He deliver you. But you won't win the race crossing the lake. The other person came down and he's strategic. He says, Lord, which of these canoes will get me across the lake faster? Not even which one will get me across the lake, period. And the Lord will say, take that one. Jumps in the canoe, goes across, and he wins the race. Strategic approach. What is that called? Lead us not into temptation. Let me tell you, when you're in the middle of the lake and the boat is sinking, you're tempted to be fearful, angry, upset, angry at God. How could you let me pick a boat that has a hole in it? Does this sound like I'm making it up? No. We've all gone through it, right? But we cried, Lord, deliver us from evil. I am sure when the planes hit the towers in the 9/11, there were people in there who yelled out to God, deliver us from evil. And some of them got out. I know some of them got out. I can tell you tremendous miracles about getting out. One lady, two angels helped her down. 40 stories. She was so overweight she couldn't go down probably even one staircase by herself. She got down. She did her best, and when she had the word to give up, two arms grabbed her on both sides and lifted her all down the remaining, whatever it is, 20, 30 staircase. She got to the bottom where there was no smoke, and she turned around to thank them, and there was nobody there. Nobody there. God will deliver you from evil. But I know about the people who, going into work, said, huh, maybe I'll have a cup of coffee this morning, and stop to have a coffee. And while they're having coffee, or when they cancel going to work, no lady who said, not going to work today. And they were not there when the evil came. They were under leading us not into temptation. One of our friends, when we go to New York, we stable her. She worked in the Twin Towers from the day it was opened until it blew up, she worked there. Only 2 days she didn't go to work, except for vacations. 2 days. The first day she didn't go, they set off the bombs in the basement. The second day was the day the planes hit it. That is strategic living. Lead us not into temptation. So what we want to do is we want to walk by faith, but we want to live by faith. God wants the just to live by faith. And living by faith, now he gave us a prophetic word this morning. Start to prepare yourself for the wonderful emergence of the knowledge of the glory of God spreading over the earth over the next few years. As the dark gets darker, the knowledge of the glory of God will spread over the earth. And be like the lady who didn't go to work that day. They came to her son and they said, doesn't your mother work in the Twin Towers? And they said, yeah, my mother works in the Twin Towers. And he said, there are planes hitting the Twin Towers. And the son says, if there are planes hitting the Twin Towers, my mother ain't there. Okay? He was absolutely right. Be like her. Be like Pastor Joseph, who was a guest speaker here. And he founded over 100 churches in China. At which point in time it was you could execute you for having a Bible or preaching. And he was on their most wanted list for a long time. He was never number one, as was Brother Yun was actually number one on their most wanted list. But he was on their most wanted list. And they came the time where they surrounded his house. And looked so sad, and the army has surrounded his house. And he says, God, what do I do? And God says, take your Bible and put your Bible in front of your face, open the door, and walk out. See, God weighs and not the ways of man. Yeah? If we do this, we can't see the army, but the army can see us. He did that. The faith to do that. You cannot have the faith to do that without growing in faith and practicing faith. He opened the door, walked out with his Bible in front of him, and walked right through the cordon of soldiers and went to the truck, the command truck. He's standing there next to the colonel of whoever it is, and he's saying on the phone, yes, sir, we have Pastor Joseph surrounded. He's in the house. We're about to go in and arrest him. And Pastor Joseph is standing beside him, and the man does not see him. Okay? We started out. Nothing is impossible. If you can believe it, God can do it. Amen. Is that true?
Yes.
If you can believe it, God can do it. In fact, if you can't believe it and it's good for you, God can still do it. Okay? He can do more than you can imagine, because as he told Sarah, no matter how great you think, you're finite. I'm infinite. No matter what your greatest dreams and fantasies and hopes are, God wants to do much more than that for you. Let's be obedient and let him start manifesting those blessings in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Sarah, thank you. Yeah, let's give the Lord a big round of applause. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Father, for your word.